In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, one of the most compelling scenes is when Indy is rushing to retrieve the Holy Grail in order to save his dying father. But to reach it, he has to face a series of challenges, the final of which requires him to cross a chasm which is too wide to swing or to jump. And the only advice he gets from his father's Grail diary is that he has to take a leap of faith. With time running out, his father's life on the line, he has no choice but to try. He takes a deep breath, closes his eyes, steps out over the edge of the cliff, and finds that there was a bridge disguised to look like the rocks, which allows him to cross the abyss and arrive safely at the Grail. I'm Matthew Murphy, and this is Harold from the North. There's an argument being used by those who are critical of Christianity that's been growing in popularity over the past few years, but for the life of me, I can't see why people find it compelling. The argument challenges the idea of faith itself, which is defined in the book of Hebrews as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The argument states that people should only rely on things which they have 100% proven, and because they don't have 100% proof of God's existence, they deny that he's real. They claim that the idea of trusting in things that are unseen is nonsense, dismissing Christians as gullible sheep who must be crazy to believe in something that's not guaranteed. Not like them. They're realistic people. They would never base their life around something that they can't fully prove and understand. And when you discuss these ideas with people, you inevitably discover a belief that they hold that contradicts this explanation, but more importantly, the claim simply isn't true. Whether they realize it or not, they're living by faith. For instance, driving a car is a lot more dangerous than most people realize. The National Safety Council reports that in 2021, over 46,000 people died as a result of motor vehicle accidents. They also reported preliminary data that states in 2022, motor vehicle crashes were the third leading cause of death by unintentional injury. Last year, Ajero put out an article that claimed that driving is more dangerous than ever. They reported that an increase in the use of large vehicles, an increase in speeding, and a rise of drivers who are either distracted or driving under the influence has made the roads a pretty dangerous place to be. But despite these reports, we drive to work every day with the assumption that everything will probably be fine. We put our trust in the system that says we'll be safe if we just follow the rules, but that's a promise they can't really back up. This is a far cry from guaranteeing that we'll arrive safely, but we do it anyway. There's no way we can truly know what will happen, but we find the balance between what we fear might occur and what we hope is the likelihood of that fear coming to pass. Another way to look at this is through the lens of trust. Late last year, the New York Times reported that when taken orally, a large swath of the over-the-counter medicines that were supposed to help with nasal congestion don't work at all. A panel on the FDA voted that, quote, a common decongestant ingredient used in many over-the-counter cold medicines is ineffective, end quote. That means when added together, there were around 250 medicines worth $1.8 billion that did absolutely nothing. And I'm willing to bet that at least some of the people who bought these products say that they can't live a life of faith because God hasn't been proven. But all the while, they're taking pills that promise a false reality. The people who claim they only rely on things because they have 100% proof either haven't thought it through enough or they're lying. We all place our trust and confidence in things that we have no control over. And yet many people can't seem to connect the dots between the massive amounts of faith they put into extremely fallible human beings and the possibility of putting their faith in an unseen God. We continually dream about the future items that we wish to own or the jobs that we hope to have, all with the subconscious pretext that there will in fact be a day that those hopes come to fruition. But as the book of James, chapter 4, verse 14 puts it, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. By this logic, people should be highly skeptical of every area in life, but for some reason the only category people apply this amount of scrutiny to is the existence of God. At this point in the conversation, some people will pivot and say that the examples I provided don't address the question of existence because they have seen examples of these events occurring. Even if they can't prove that every medicine will work in the way that it claims to every time, they've at least seen medicines that work before, so it's not unreasonable to assume that other medicines exist as well. But since they've never seen the existence of God proven, they say there's no reason to assume that he's real. Therefore, they say, they can still claim that they only believe in things that they know have been proven to be real.
But that's also not true. Many of the people who make this claim also believe in the Big Bang Theory, which, simply put, states that the universe was created by particles that collided, reactions happened, and from that, at least the basic components of what we see today were created. But this process has never been replicated. No scientist has ever been able to demonstrate this theory, and thus it has not stood up to our standards of proof.
Scientists will claim that there's compelling evidence for it, but even if you believe them, that isn't proof. It's conjecture. Even if every scientist in the world agreed that this is how it happened, which not everyone does, that doesn't make it true. You just have to take their word for it, which means you're putting your faith in people who have no proof to back up their claims. And yet when Christians bring forward examples of people who claim to be eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ and died horrible deaths for that belief, we're told that their word doesn't count. And if you inquire further, it gets even worse. If you ask questions like, where did the particles come from if you can't get something from nothing? And how did living matter arise out of non-living matter? All they can do is appeal to ignorance and say that there must be some exception to the rules that they haven't discovered yet that'll back up and validate all of their claims. But no, clearly it's the Christians who are the unreasonable ones. To believe in the Big Bang and things of the like is to believe in something that you cannot see and has not been proven. But those who wholeheartedly agree with this theory will reject the existence of God using the very same logic. You can't have it both ways. Either you don't accept even a whiff of something that hasn't been proven, or you have to agree that you believe in things for which you do not have any proof. Obviously, this isn't the end of the conversations around faith in the existence of God, but in those conversations, don't allow people who criticize the idea of faith to pretend like they're not taking leaps of faith themselves. If having 100% proof is where you want to hang your hat, you're never going to find a home. I understand that having faith isn't easy, but having it's not a question of if, it's what. What do you choose to put your faith in? And if you've spent your life seeking truth and you've come to your beliefs because of arguments and evidence that you've found convincing, so be it. But so do we. And if you're that willing to put your faith in earthly things, then why not also have faith in God? Or as Pascal puts it, let us weigh the gain and loss in wagering that God is. Let us estimate these two chances. If you gain, you gain all. If you lose nothing. Wager then, without hesitation, that he is. That's all I have for today. Thanks for listening, and until next time, farewell. Thanks for listening. Remember to use the links in the description to follow me on social media and wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode.